Everybody, and welcome. I'm Mo Ray. This is The Other Side. Joining me in the studio is Joe Danier.
Hola.
All right. Good to see you, Joe.
Yeah, likewise.
All right. And as usual, I'm going to confess, one of my character flaws, I cut it close, man. I even wanted to open a club one time called The Last Minute. I said, that's me. But if you're joining me, video-wise, you're watching me on Facebook. I am in Facebook jail for at least another 25 days. If I showed you the innocuous post that put me there, it was just this woman was complaining about masks, and I said, America is filled with a bunch of stupid babies, and I've never seen so much arrogance and ignorance in my life. That got me 30 days, because it's like the criminal justice system. Once you get in there, it just every time it gets worse and worse. It starts at one day. 3 days, 7 days, 1 month. So
what does Facebook say to you when that gets reported? Do they reprimand you?
You have violated our community standards, and then you can say I want to contest this, but this is the quickest they ever got back. And I don't even think a person's doing it. I think it's all algorithm. And they said, I forgot how they phrased it, but basically, sorry, Charlie, you know, you're stuck. So there's no recourse, and there was no profanity. That's what makes me sick. People are dropping F-bombs and insulting each other, and they don't get anything. And yet I just make a comment stating my opinion about people who don't wear masks, and this woman complains, and without question, I am suddenly off Facebook for 30 days.
So if somebody doesn't like you, they could take anything, report it, and
yeah,
then they'll...
apparently. That's one more reason I don't like Mark Zuckerberg, because, I mean, this guy's got literally a couple of billion people, or if not, maybe it's 3 billion by now, and on his platform. And yet you can't reach out to these people and say, hey, I get it. If you got that many people, customer service would be tough. But how about giving people an appeal process if they feel that they've been wrongly accused of violating the standards? But... so there, now you're up to date on my personal life. So anyway, there's Debbie saying, hello, oh, Mo. All right, well, yeah, so that's why you haven't seen me lately, Debbie. And, you know, and it's killing me because there's so much stuff I'd like to comment on. I did want to real quick, well, I'll get to that in a minute. Let's start right off. We're going to talk about the president, of course. How do you not? But there's been, I'm going to play something a little bit later that's definitely off my beaten path. I think he's on Breitbart now, but Glenn Beck is still around. And he interviewed a doctor, and her name is Dr. Simone Gold. And Dr. Gold was one of those physicians in white lab coats who stood on the steps of the Supreme Court basically saying that hydroxychloroquine was a cure for COVID-19. Now, the spokesman that day that got the most attention was the Nigerian American doctor, and she does have a interesting history. She, besides being a doctor, and she is a doctor, she's also a pastor, and she's also got some rather bizarre beliefs about aliens, and devil semen, or was it demon semen, which would be better, which sounds like a rock group. But anyway, let's start out, though, by Dr. Birx, one of the members of the pandemic task force, made some comments that were displeasing to the president. It seems the president wants to paint a rosy picture, even as we are now at, I just kicked the table. I just saw the vibration. Anyway. We're at 155,000 deaths now, and the president keeps trying to paint a sunny picture. Well, it's not sunny, and some of his experts, in fact, most of his experts, are telling the truth, and man, he doesn't like that. But this is CBS News, and a story about the president criticizing Dr. Birx.
Experts are at odds tonight. At his coronavirus briefing, President Trump says the U.S. is making, quote, significant progress in fighting the virus. But that's not what the doctors are saying publicly. Here's CBS's Paula Reed.
President Trump lashed out for the first time at his COVID task force coordinator, Dr. Deborah Birx, calling her dire warning about the spread of the virus pathetic. She said the country had entered a dangerous new phase, a message the president did not appreciate.
It is extraordinarily widespread. It's into the rural as equal urban areas.
Despite evidence supporting Birx's claim, Mr. Trump today said the opposite is true.
The virus is receding. I told Dr. Birx I think we're doing very well. She was in my office a little while ago.
The president also continued to defend hydroxychloroquine, a controversial drug he took earlier this summer that many experts say poses health risks.
Many doctors have come out strongly in favor of it. They want it very badly.
That contradicted another task force member, Admiral Brett Giroir, who said the drug had been ineffective in treating COVID.
We don't recommend that as a treatment.
Dr. Anthony Fauci has also repeatedly warned against its use.
And hydroxychloroquine is not effective therapy for COVID-19.
I don't agree with Fauci on everything. I don't agree with Fauci.
The president also appeared to back off his threat to ban the popular Chinese-owned video app TikTok as long as an American company were to purchase it by the middle of next month.
So it'll close down on September 15th unless Microsoft or somebody else is able to buy it and work out a deal.
Even though the president has downplayed the need for COVID testing nationwide, today the White House announced mandatory random COVID testing for all West Wing staffers. This comes after several White House aides and reporters here have tested positive. Nora.
And welcome back. But yeah, so there we have that argument, and the president is definitely strong on this. But the majority, you know, I like, have you ever noticed when the president is telling a lie, he usually says lots of people say or everybody knows. And when you ask those, you know, no, don't do that. If why are you contradicting all these experts? But as I said, I will try to balance this out. But real quick, the president 2 weeks ago was interviewed by Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday, and he made a promise that he would be rolling out a health care plan within 2 weeks. Well, it's been 2 weeks and 2 days now, and there's been no such health care plan rolled out by the president. This is a group called Midas Touch. They're as brutal as the Lincoln Project, and they're calling him out on his promise.
When we win on November 8th, we will be able to immediately repeal and replace Obamacare.
My first day in office, I'm going to ask Congress to put a bill on my desk.
I hope we're going to surprise you with a really good plan.
You're going to end up with great health care for a fraction of the price, and that's going to take place immediately after we go in, okay? Immediately.
On my first day.
You're going to be very proud of what we put forth having to do with health care. I know that we're all going to make a deal on health care. That's such an easy one.
Form a really great plan.
You've been in office 3.5 years. You don't have a plan.
Well, we haven't had... Excuse me. You heard me yesterday. We're signing a health care plan within 2 weeks. A full and complete health care plan.
I've been saying this for a long time.
Yes, he has, and apparently he is just whistling Dixie, as the music would indicate. But I don't know, you know, I don't even, the whole Republican Party's been going after Obamacare ever since it was created. So they've had a decade to come up with something, and they haven't. And once again, I don't know if you remember, there was this one time when the president made a promise of a middle-class tax cut. Oh, by the way,
are one of the reasons why we absolutely could not put this on social media. I think if we even cut this and put it on social media, my guess is it's going to be banned, and it will just be one more strike against us to silence our voice. I say this because the voice you're about to hear has been silenced already on every media platform. In fact, today during testimony in Washington, Mark Zuckerberg said what this doctor was saying could get people killed. They could take a drug that could harm them.
There was a reference there.
It's unbelievable to, what's going on. I want to introduce you to our guest, but first I want to read, I want you to understand who she really is. If I look at her resume, she's a board certified emergency physician. She graduated from the Chicago Medical School before attending Stanford University Law School. So she's a doctor and a lawyer.
American information from citizens and perhaps others. So I get that part, but what I don't get, and we'll talk about that later, is he seems to think that if Microsoft does buy TikTok from the Chinese, that somehow the United States government should get a cut of that deal. And to hear his explanation, this is not a real estate deal. He doesn't get a finder's fee or something. I mean, it's really ridiculous. But let's, by the way, let's say hello to who else is there. B.A., hey, B.A., hello. She says hi. And Richard says, Glenn Beck is trying to take over your broadcast. No, I will not allow that. But I'm playing this to make a point. And in fact, but first, let's stick with the experts that we know are experts. At least we've been told they are. And this guy's, he was interviewed by Chuck Todd on Meet the Press on NBC, of course, on Sunday. And this is Admiral Brett Jawar. And these are his comments about the president's favorite drug, hydroxychloroquine.
Contact tracing.
Look, I know you're not a political person, but the president continues to advocate for hydroxychloroquine. Is that a danger to public health?
So from a public health standpoint, at first hydroxychloroquine looked very promising. There were not the definitive studies. At this point in time, there's been 5 randomized placebo-controlled trials that do not show any benefit to hydroxychloroquine. So at this point in time, we don't recommend that as a treatment. There's no evidence to show that it is. But on the other hand, we have remdesivir. We have steroids, which reduces mortality by 30%. We still don't know about immune plasma. But it has worked in many other circumstances. There are many trials, and you heard that national call for that. And a vaccine looks very promising as well. So we have many things that do work. Right now, hydroxychloroquine, I can't recommend that.
Now, I was just going to say, are you concerned, though, that because of this mixed messaging, that it's going to continue to sort of create this fog, if you will, about treatments and misuse of this drug?
So hydroxychloroquine needs to be prescribed by a physician. There may be circumstances, I don't know what they are, where a physician may prescribe it for an individual, but I think most physicians and prescribers are evidence-based and they're not influenced by whatever is on Twitter or anything else. And the evidence just doesn't show that hydroxychloroquine is effective right now. I think we need to move on from that and talk about what is effective. Both from a public health standpoint, I told you, the masks, the crowds, wash your hands,
right.
Avoid indoor spaces. And for treatments, we know that if you get COVID now, your chances of dying are incredibly less than they were in April because our healthcare providers know how to treat it better. We have effective therapies like remdesivir and steroids, promising therapies like immune plasma, and a vaccine really on the horizon.
Admiral Jawar, I have to end it there. I appreciate you coming on and sharing the perspective of the task force. As always, sir, stay safe and healthy yourself.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
And so there we go. As I said, the experts are still saying that it's a dangerous drug. And by the way, thank you, BA. There was a brief technical issue there with the sound. I didn't hear it, but apparently you heard it. It went out, but he fixed it. Because Joe's good at that kind of thing. Let's see. Let's go to the Glenn Beck clip I was telling you about. And I didn't tell you where to start, did I?
Let's do it on the fly.
Okay, well then, 507 is the starting point. This is kind of long, and there we go. And let me give you a little introduction to the doctor. As I said, if you remember the situation, I believe, was that last week or week before last, where several doctors stood on the steps of the Supreme Court, and they were promoting hydroxychloroquine as a cure. You heard me right, a cure for COVID-19, when in fact the majority of the medical community does not see it as such. But like I said, the spokesman was a lady who's got a colorful history, and maybe she wasn't the best spokesman. Now this lady, she's a doctor as well, but she's also a lawyer. So this, you know, that's no slouch, right, to be a doctor and a lawyer. And I think she presents her point very well. But she seems to be sure that there's something going on here, and she claims she's been silenced, and that hydroxychloroquine should be available, and it is it is a cure. So anyway, her name once again is Dr. Simone Gold, and let's listen to her views on hydroxychloroquine.
Let me walk you through this. It's very interesting for your listeners and viewers. So doctors prescribe on-label and off-label all the time. It's irrelevant to a physician. When a drug is approved on-label, for example, for pneumonia, let's say, once it's been approved by the FDA as being safe, you then can use it off-label for another use. So when COVID came around, it looked like chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine would be helpful, so we fully expected to use it off-label. All of a sudden, we were told we couldn't use it off-label anymore. The way we were told that is various governors of various states tell their state medical boards and their state pharmacy boards that a physician can't use this for off-label use. This has never happened in the history of medicine in the past. It's just shocking. I can't even, there is no degree of, that I can use to tell you the enormity of such a statement. Like everybody else, I actually thought this had to do with President Trump, right? He says hydroxychloroquine is promising, then the media just poured hatred all over that drug, right? Yeah. It's about the drug. It turns out I don't think it is. For about 6 to 8 weeks, that's what I thought too. Then I looked into it a little bit more closely. It turns out that hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine is over-the-counter in much of the world. Interestingly enough, it was over-the-counter in France, all right? You know when it got pulled over-the-counter? Let me explain. Over-the-counter in France, they moved it to a List 2 poisonous substance, which requires a prescription. You know when they did that, Glenn? They did that on January 13th, 2 months before President Trump breathed a word about it. You might ask the next question is, why would they do that? And what I will say is you have to always look at who benefits when you knock out one competitor, one contender. Right, so hydroxychloroquine works early. To the extent that there's anything else, like remdesivir, that works late. It doesn't work as well, nearly as well as hydroxychloroquine, and it's late. So if you knock out the early drug, there's obviously an opportunity for the late drug. January 13th, why did France pull it off the shelves? We had evidence in 2005 that chloroquine was likely to work against the COVID-19 virus. I say that because the virology journal published by the National Institute of Health showed in SARS-CoV-1, which is the precursor to SARS-CoV-2, which is what we're living through, chloroquine worked prophylactically and in early treatment. So we knew that in 2005, the director of the NIH, which published virology, was Anthony Fauci at that time. So Anthony Fauci clearly knew that chloroquine was likely to work. So my question is, if people want to say, well, we don't know if it works, which, by the way, we do know now, but even if we didn't know back then, a few months ago, that it worked, it was certainly a likely contender, because back in 2005, Virology, they published that chloroquine worked for SARS-CoV-1, which is, by the way, 78% identical to SARS-CoV-2, otherwise known as COVID-19. In fact, I don't know why we call it a novel coronavirus. It's not really quite novel. It's 78% identical to SARS-CoV-1.
Boom. And so there you have the other side of the story. And by the way, I apologize for the quality of that. And I said Breitbart. No, if you remember, at one time, he actually had a real network called Blaze TV, but they had to shut that down in late 2019 because of financial issues. So apparently now he's doing pretty much what I'm doing. He's doing a web show, and because I noticed the Blaze logo there. I thought it was Breitbart at first. I said, that's what he's doing. He's just doing he's still doing his radio show. He's still nationally syndicated doing radio. And as far as his video portion, he's doing, as I said, what I'm doing right now, talking to you via the internet. But anyway, interesting. So she claims that, by the way, I checked it out. Fauci was he's been head of the NIH, the National Institute of Health, for decades. And it is interesting that during the time frame she gave, she says he should have known that this drug had beneficial purposes, but now he's exclusively saying that no, this is not a good drug to take. And bear in mind that there have been clinical trials where people have died taking this drug. No doubt that it's been on the market, but it's been used for over 60 years for lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, and maybe even some other disease that I'm not aware of. But apparently using it to treat COVID-19 is not recommended. I think you just heard members of the president's task force say the same, although the president himself disagrees. And by the way, just to be fair to the president for once, He really has no major holdings in the companies that make this drug, so this is not a money move on his part. Apparently, he just really believes this is a beneficial drug. But as it seems, the experts would question his faith in that drug. Speaking of questions, he was also asked a question by Jim Acosta, one of his favorites from CNN, asked him why does he keep contradicting his experts? And that exchange went like this.
So many of the public health experts on the coronavirus task force are contradicting you on things like why the virus is so widespread in this country, on the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine. Why are so many of these people on your task force contradicting you?
Well, I think we're doing a great job. I think we're doing great on vaccines. We're doing great on therapeutics. You'll be seeing that very soon. I think we're, when you look at a map, this is a map of the, I've sort of shown that around a little bit, but that's, the red is the area of most concern. It's a pretty recent map of the country, and there's a lot of people that, in a lot of areas that have gotten very, you know, better very fast. Hydroxy has tremendous support. But politically, it's toxic because I supported it. If they would have said, do not use hydroxychloroquine under any circumstances, they would have come out and they would have said it's a great thing. Many doctors have come out strongly in favor of it. They want it very badly. It's a great malaria drug. Let me finish my answer. So for many years, it's, I guess, 60 years, it's been a malaria drug, very successful, as you know. And it's been also a drug for lupus, and it caused no trouble, virtually nothing in terms of causing people to get sick or having problems with anything. You add the zinc and you add the zithromycin, the Z-Pak as they call it, and it's been very, I happened to take it myself, the threesome. I took it myself for a period of 2 weeks. I had no problem. I had no problem whatsoever. And importantly, I didn't test positive. That's very nice. Okay, I'm very happy about that, negative. And so that's the story. It's very highly thought of. Interestingly, a great doctor, from what I understand, a great doctor from Yale, feels very strongly about hydroxychloroquine. The Ford Clinic in Michigan came out with a very, very powerful paper saying it's very good. Many other in France, as you know, they came out with a very positive statement. Many individual doctors have come out with very positive statements. I will tell you that if I was surrounded by people, as I was at the time, the reason I took it, you know, we had some people that were relatively near me that tested positive. And I took it for that reason, just because I've heard good things.
But Fauci says it doesn't work. Well, your wife says it doesn't work.
I don't agree with Fauci and everything. I don't agree with Fauci. Look, Fauci didn't want, and I like him. I get along with him actually great, but he didn't want to ban people from China from coming into the country, and I overrode him, and I did the right thing. He was saying face masks are no good a short while ago, so it doesn't mean he's a bad person, because he's not. He's a good person. I like him.
All right, I want to bring in our experts to talk about this, but just a quick fact check on what the president said about hydroxychloroquine, because he was not accurate at all there, touting a study that has been discredited, touting a doctor who has touted studies that were not randomized or controlled. So just do not take what he said as any sort of medical advice, because it goes very contrary to what experts overwhelmingly say.
So once again, the president very strongly recommends this drug. Well, in fact, we can talk about this, Joe. You said that one of the clinical studies, they gave very high doses of this drug. And by the way, I just want to say that was the disease I forgot. Malaria was the original disease, and then it was found to be helpful with lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. But you're saying during the clinical test,
10 times the normal dosage during one of the study that had most heart problems, and mm-hmm. the problem was a 2,500 mu dose rather than a regular dose for malaria and lupus, which was a 200 mu dose. I found that weird that they would overdo it to such a high proportion during that clinical study.
So there's something we need to look into as well. So it could be a question of degree, and stay tuned. I'll surely have something on that by Thursday when you join us again. we do have an election coming up, and one of my favorite groups, in fact, I think Thursday as well, I mean, there's an interview that was done with the people who bring you the Lincoln Project. These are Republicans, real old-fashioned Republicans, true conservatives who feel that their party's been hijacked by Trump, and they're doing everything in their power to make sure he's not reelected. And we'll have that Thursday, the origin of the Lincoln Project. But right now, here's an ad from the Lincoln Project encouraging you to get out and vote. Oh, really? Nothing.
Americans have died in this four-month period than ever before. A failed president. The worst economy in U.S. history. More Americans have died in this four-month period than ever before. Donald Trump's response? Stop the election. He can't win. We voted during the wars. We voted in the Great Depression. We voted when civil unrest swept the country. Americans died for our right to vote. Americans marched for our right to vote. Americans were beaten and brutalized for our right to vote. Now a failed president faces defeat, with millions out of work and tens of thousands dying from his incompetence and neglect, threatening the very foundations of democracy. Donald Trump, here's the message. We will vote. We will defend America. We will throw you and your failed cronies out of office. The choice, America or Trump.
The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Well, get out there and vote, folks. In fact, there was a poll in the Toledo Blade that actually had Joe Biden ahead by 2 or 3 points. A little early to be making those predictions, but, you know, and I'm going to tell you something that you might not want to hear. When I ride through Canfield and places like that and I see Trump signs everywhere, it makes me wonder if this state has not already been lost to Trump. But I'm not giving up. I'm just saying much has been made in past presidential elections about how you really need Ohio to win. But there's a different formulation out there with the Electoral College. There are some states that are leaning blue that if Michigan looks like a very likely contender. And if Michigan goes for Trump and PA goes for Trump, for Biden, I should say, that would be a big deal. Wisconsin looks like it's leaning that way. So Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, that would be major. I don't think there's, you know, I'm a Texan. He's even close in Texas. But I just don't see, unless there's a major turnout, I just don't see Texas going blue, because it hasn't been blue for 30 years. So, and I mean, it's very red down there. And as I like to joke, it's not only is the state red, a lot of the necks are too. So that's been, but I want to tell you, anyway, I'm here all week, folks. But by the way, comments here. Larry says physicians can use off-label, but FDA has always had the authority to prohibit the promotion of any off-label use. Okay, very good point. And yes, and BA says his VP, it is important. Biden's VP is very important. I don't think he's made a choice yet. I believe it may be this week.
What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I was big on Harris for a while, but I'm starting to... I don't know. There's something about her that doesn't quite, you know, and I heard she had to ask for a meeting with Biden. Maybe some people feel she wasn't, you know, she went after him in that first debate. I don't know if you watched that, but
yes, yeah.
And a lot of people say she doesn't, you know, she kind of tossed it off like, well, that's just politics. And there's rumors out there that she's not in the good graces of the Biden campaign. So she may not be it. A lot of people think it's, you know, she has it hands down. I personally like kind of a dark horse, Susan Rice, former ambassador to UN. Very smart lady. She knows the world. If she needed to step in as president of the United States, I think she could do it in a minute. Very well educated. And a wicked sense of humor, by the way. I mean, I've seen some interviews with her. I never knew that. But I kind of like her, but there's other people being talked about. I personally don't think it'll be Elizabeth Warren, just because a lot of people, you know, Trump and the Republicans and Fox News are going to try to say that the Democrats are way too far left. And I think a lot of more moderate voters look at Elizabeth Warren kind of like Bernie Light, you know, like she never denounced capitalism as Bernie did. So at least she's got that. But, you know, then we'd have to hear all these months of Trump calling her Pocahontas, which that works with his crowd. But I don't know if that would help him with the masses. So anyway, I don't know. There's a couple other names being mentioned. There's one lady that I thought was Val Demings, I believe is her name, and she was I'm trying to remember what she was. Oh my gosh. Oh well. It'll come to me.
You think it'll be like a strategy where he'll pick a governor in a state that he needs to carry, kind of a thing, or do you think it's going to be a likable, maybe female minority that helps with that group?
I think he's being pushed very hard to push to pick a black woman. There's no doubt about that. And basically, his campaign was saved by black voters and black women in particular in South Carolina. So I think that's why. And not only that, I just think that would energize maybe some of the younger voters. I mean, when you look in Portland, I'm not talking about the crazy stuff. I just mean the peaceful protesters. I made a comment the other day, you see more white faces in that Black Lives Matter crowd than black faces. Yep. So apparently it's a good time to be black.
There you go.
and a good time maybe to have a black running mate.
Yeah, right.
But like I said, I like Susan Rice. As far as governors go, there is a lot of talk about Gretchen Whitmer, I believe it is, from Michigan. And she's been, you know, Fox has been very hard on her for her lockup orders. But I like her because when the president goes after her, she snaps right back. I mean, she's definitely, I think she would be, and she's moderate, even though they tried to paint her some kind of hardliner, because she was just trying to keep her people safe. If you compare what's going on in Michigan with what's going on in Georgia, did you see the summer camp, 200 kids got infected?
Oh, no kidding.
Because masks were optional, because Governor Kemp won't even let any municipalities or counties make any masking rules. He wants it all to be freedom of choice. Your choice to get sick? Your choice to infect me? I don't understand that. I still don't understand what the big hostility is there. But, man, some people sure are against it. But I think it's irresponsible for governors like Kemp and DeSantis in Florida to have taken so long to move on this. And now their states are paying. And by the way, my home state of Texas, Governor Abbott will not be attending the Republican convention, at least the portion that was going to be held in North Carolina, because he's swamped with the spiking pandemic in the state of Texas, the state that had the shortest shutdown time, the state that never shut down bars. And, well, look what happened. I mean, I don't think we as a country are taking this seriously. I wish the president would try to work with the governors instead of attacking governors the way he does, and exclusively Democrat governors. And I just use a Republican talking point there. It's still the Democratic Party. That was a Frank Luntz thing about maybe 20, 30 years ago, where they started calling it the Democrat Party, because you don't want to call it the Democratic Party, because that sounds like it's fair and nice to everybody. So it's the Democrat Party in Republican and right-wing media. But I digress. I hit the table again, man. I'm shaking this place up today. But let's see. Up next, being talked about a lot. The president had an interview with Axios, which is a website, that a news website. But they also have programming on HBO. They have a news program. And the president sat down with a guy named Jonathan Swan, who was pretty tough on him, and he wouldn't let him get away with it. But this was a simple question. This is what the president does best. The question was, and by the way, Richard says, Val Demings, correct, she was a police chief. Thank you, sir. That is correct. Anyway, the president is asked a question, and then he goes off on some tangent. The question was this. If you heard about it in the last couple of weeks, supposedly the Russians were paying the Taliban bounties to kill American troops. The president has asked a direct question about that, and watch where he takes it.
It's been widely reported that the U.S. has intelligence indicating that Russia paid bounties or offered to pay bounties to Taliban fighters to kill American soldiers. Right. You had a phone call with Vladimir Putin on July 23rd. Did you bring up this issue?
No, that was a phone call to discuss other things. And frankly, that's an issue that many people said was fake news.
Who said it was fake news?
I think a lot of people, if you look at some of the wonderful folks from the Bush administration, some of them, not any friends of mine, were saying that it's a fake issue. But a lot of people said it's a fake issue.
There was
we had a call talking about nuclear proliferation, which is a very big subject, where they would like to do something and so would I. We discussed numerous things. We did not discuss that, no.
And you've never discussed it with him?
I have never discussed it with him, no. I would. I'd have no problem with it.
But you don't believe
it's because you don't believe the intelligence.
That's why.
Everything, you know, it's interesting. Nobody ever brings up China. They always bring Russia. If we can do something with Russia in terms of nuclear proliferation, which is a very big problem, bigger problem than global warming, a much bigger problem than global warming in terms of the real world, that would be a great thing. No, it never reached my desk. You know why? Because they didn't think it was intelligence. They didn't think it was real.
It was in your written brief, though. Okay.
They didn't think it was worthy of it. I wouldn't mind. If it reached my desk, I would have done something about it. It never reached my desk because...
Do you read your written brief?
I do. I read it a lot.
Really?
You know, I read a lot. They like to say I don't read. I read a lot.
Your daily
I comprehend extraordinarily well, probably better than anybody that you've interviewed in a long time. I read a lot. I spend a lot of time with... at meetings, usually it's once a day or at least two or three times a week intelligence.
This was apparently
talking about India, talking about with the problems with China, talking about so many different elements of the world. Mm-hmm. The world is a very angry place. If you look all over the world, we call up, I see 22 soldiers were killed in India with China fighting over the border. It's been raging for many, many decades. And they've been fighting and back and forth. I have so many briefings on so many different countries, but this one didn't reach my desk.
The reason I say this is even if you don't believe this particular piece of intelligence, and there is dispute, no doubt there is dispute in the intelligence community about it, your former, John Nicholson, former head of forces in Afghanistan, said, and this is when he was working for you, that Russia is supplying weapons to the Taliban. Isn't that enough to challenge Putin over the killings of U.S.
soldiers?
Well,
we supplied weapons when they were fighting Russia, too. You know, when they were fighting the Taliban in Afghanistan...
It's a different era.
Well, it's a different... I'm just saying, yes.
But does
we,
that...
No,
does
no,
that
I'm
affect,
just saying we did that, too.
But how does that...
I don't know. I didn't ask Nicholson about that. He was there for a long time, didn't have great success because, you know, he was there before me, and then ultimately I made a change.
But you surely heard that, right? I mean, it's well known in the intelligence community that they're arming the Taliban, Russia.
I don't know. When you say arming... Is the Taliban paying or are they giving?
Russia is supplying weapons and money to the Taliban.
I have heard that, but it's never, it's never reached my desk.
I mean, he said it on the record when he was in.
Hey, Russia doesn't want anything to do with Afghanistan. Let me just tell you about Russia. Russia used to be a thing called the Soviet Union. Because of Afghanistan, they went bankrupt. They became Russia, just so you do understand, okay? The last thing that Russia wants to do is get too much involved with Afghanistan. They tried that once. It didn't work out.
Well, see where he took it? I mean, the simple question was, did you talk to Putin about Russians putting bounties on American soldiers? He gets into global warming. He gets into China. He gets into, by the way, did you know that Russia used to be a thing called the Soviet Union? That was fascinating, Mr. President. But he never really answered the question. He keeps saying it didn't reach his desk, where, I don't know, I find that very hard to believe. And even if it didn't reach his desk, what if, in fact, you know, he once again, he can't wait to kiss up to Putin. Let's just say hypothetically, Mr. President, if Putin was paying Taliban people to kill our people. Maybe that's something you should discuss with him. But it just seems like he's more interested in staying in Putin's good graces. But there's also more to that interview. And I just, this one goes very quick. And it's just a point where he's asked about the coronavirus and the numbers of deaths. Basically, we're losing about 1,000 people a day. And he's asked about it. And his answer is short but sweet, but totally shows the lack of empathy this president has. And yeah, go ahead.
I mean, these are people, many of them are older people,
what's
Mr. President.
What's the definition of control? Yeah. Under the
it's giving them a false sense
right
of security.
Now, I think it's under control. I'll tell you what.
How? 1,000 Americans are dying a day.
They are dying. That's true. And it is what it is.
It is what it is. And what it is an American tragedy. What it is the incompetence of this administration to establish a national strategy, which if maybe we had, then, the early things with some of the PPE shortages and other things might have been avoided if this had been handled on a national level. This is he was calling it a war against an invisible enemy. Well, when the United States goes to war, we don't go state by state. We go united. And I think this administration should have, and as far as like CDC guidelines, well, they're not laws, they're not enforceable, but maybe if every state had paid more attention to those in the early days, we wouldn't have some of the tragedies we did. And it's easy to toss out numbers. After a while, you become numb. When you say 155,000 Americans are dead, that's a lot of people. And every one of those people probably had some people they left behind. And I can't just, just say, oh, well, just 155,000 dead, and it's getting better, the president says, even as his experts say they think it's getting worse. I'm going to go with the experts. A lot of things, our knowledge of this illness is evolving. In the early days, you were told kids were basically not at risk at all. And I brought up how in Georgia, 200 kids were infected at a summer camp. I wouldn't be sending my kid to a summer camp, for one thing, if I had a kid. I know some of you are really having some agonizing decisions to make about schooling. You're trying to see what your schools are going to do, how they're going to handle it. And likely, there will likely be some infections. Kids are, as I heard one person describe them, they're little anarchists, they're learning to conform. But if you tell not to mention, I can just see somebody in junior high snatching somebody's mask off. Ha ha, Johnny, I'm giving you my germs. We can joke about it, but it's not going to be easy. And I hear the president has backed off on his demand that it be 5 days a week in person everywhere, because that was unrealistic. Every situation is different. If you're in some hot zone somewhere, you probably want to limit the exposure. And in fact, the president's son, his school is delaying opening because of this. I think that should speak volumes, Mr. President. Your son's on private school. But by the way, that's been reversed. They did say they were going to delay, but the governor, usually kind of a moderate governor, Larry Hogan, got involved there, and now the schools will be private schools will be allowed to do whatever they want to do. I mean, if they want to open on time, public schools are opening late, but the private school that Barron Trump goes to will be opening on time. So sorry for confusing that, because I was also trying to look at a comment sent to me. BA, you are on this, and she's giving me a little bio on one of the possible Biden vice presidential picks. She is a woman of color, and we're talking about Valdez Vanita Demings. She's an American politician, former police officer, serving as the U.S. representative for Florida's 10th congressional district since 2017. From 2007 to 2011, she was chief of the Orlando Police Department, the first woman. So pretty impressive. And also, BA made a comment where she says the teachers may go on strike. Well, I'm not sure. I've heard rumblings in some states about teachers striking. I can tell you for sure that in the state of Florida, 30% of the teachers are retiring. Apparently, that's a big number. They're just saying, hey, you guys do your thing. I'm out. Because it's going to be a very dicey situation. I did. By the way, I can't believe it. I've gone almost the whole show and I didn't give the number. If anybody like to get in, the number is, and I won't do that again, 330-595-1600. 330-595-1600. The president made another comment that I thought was bizarre, though. And he was talking about the situation with the deal with Microsoft, possibly, looks very likely they're going to buy TikTok. The president thinks the government should get a cut of this. Once again, for all you conservatives out there, is this, you know, the conservatives are usually the ones saying they want the government out of their way. Just let business run free. Well, here's a president who sounds like he's trying to get his cut, like some kind of gangster or something, you know, like, hey, nice deal you got there. What's my cut? So.
I like that impression. That was a good one.
Well, you just seen it. He always do that. He's always threatening. You know, nice country you got there. Hate to see anything happen to it. But this is what he had to say about the Microsoft deal.
Now, this is text. There's no video. You want to
read
it?
Oh, there's no video. Nope. Oh, well, I'll read this then. Okay, yeah, I will read this. Pardon me. I just threw this up suddenly. And we'll scroll down. I just wanted to hit the high points. I can't believe there's absolutely no video. But he says, where does he say? Yeah, wait a minute. There it is. He said, President Donald Trump said Monday. By the way, this is from the CNBC website. President Donald Trump said Monday, it could be easier if Microsoft were to buy Chinese-owned TikTok in its entirety rather than a small part of the social video app, because the name would be split across two companies, and suggested the company should pay the U.S. Treasury as part of the deal. I think buying 30% is complicated, he said, and I suggested that he can go ahead and try, Trump told reporters in the cabinet room at the White House on Monday. He was referring to a conversation over the weekend with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. The comments come one day after Microsoft confirmed in a statement that it looked at buying TikTok in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Well, okay. But anyway, the very fact that the president thinks, I thought I had the audio, but apologies for that. I just think that's kind of odd. Since when do we do business that way? Now, if they do it, great. Then a very popular app stays in business and is an American-owned product. And that will eliminate any concerns that the Chinese might be spying on us with that app. But I heard several experts say they don't know where he's getting the idea that a former Treasury Secretary, in fact, said, I don't know where he's coming from with that. So this president he's always shooting from the hip, it seems, and sometimes you just got to wonder. One of the states I talked about, though, I'd said one of the possible governors, she's not in this video, I believe, but the governor of Michigan is one of the final few that are being considered for vice president. She is not a woman of color, but she's a very competent politician, and she's done well as governor of Michigan. Joe Biden hopes to do well in Michigan, and this is a Biden ad for Michigan.
I'm counting on you in a big way. I've always believed in Michigan. When there's so much fear in this country, we need honest, trusted, truthful, reassuring leadership.
The coronavirus. This is their new hoax.
Detroit's automakers made the decision to shut down all of their North American plants.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
Now this brings the total of unemployed Americans to nearly 39 million.
Don't call the woman in Michigan. It doesn't make any difference what happens.
The confirmed COVID-19 death toll is nearing 100,000.
If they don't treat you right, I don't call.
I'm ready to tent.
We're the king of ventilators. A job the likes of which nobody's seen.
Wall Street didn't build America. You built America. The middle class built America. We Democrats choose science over fiction.
And I tested very positively in another sense.
Why would you not be wearing a mask?
Not necessary here.
Truth
truth over lies.
And the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero.
Just look at how Donald Trump talks.
Debbie Dingell, that's a real beauty.
The way he treats people.
He sort of mocked a conversation that he had following the death of her husband, former Congressman John Dingell.
She calls me up. He's looking down here beside her. Maybe he's looking up. I don't know.
This is not who we are.
Donald Trump threatened financial retaliation against states trying to make it easier to vote.
Media reports linked several new cases of the illness to in-person voting.
We don't want them to do mail-in ballots.
Sure, I could vote by mail for them. Because I'm allowed to.
Every person is knocked down, counted out, left behind. This is your campaign. So get up! Let's take this back now!
So there you go. That's by a group called Midas Touch. It is it's a Democrat spinoff. They also work with Act Blue, and that's the most aggressive Democrat linked group that I've seen. The Lincoln Project is my favorite because I think they always go for the gut. Actually, go back, Joe. What I want to show. I'm gonna. There's something. Right at the, go up to the top. Something I wanted to point out, and it has something to do with this story. And, can we change the screen to that?
Sure.
Okay, yep. All right.
Yeah, let me make it smaller.
Okay.
And then we can talk about it.
Okay, because the thing is, this, I don't know if you've heard, but they're actually moving the end date of the census. They're limiting, they're cutting it off a month early. And a lot of people are concerned that could disenfranchise some voters. But one thing I wanted to point out, it did, and when I heard this story, it incentivized me to fill out the census. And by the way, online, it takes no time. And where you should go is, this is where you go to. But here's the catch. That's the fake one, see? This is, you go to, no. This is the point I'm trying to make.
Okay.
Where you want to go is my2020census.gov. Apparently, somebody's bought this this name, and if click on that, if you don't mind. And if you go here, what you'll see, I don't think it took. Oh yeah, yes it did. Pardon moi, we're live. Well, that's gonna take a minute. So, it wants you to. And this is not an official U.S. thing. Don't do that. Don't do it. Because what it does is, scroll down a little bit, it asks you to download something. Well, I guess that happens. Yeah, that must happen when, I did click on that. So anyway, but don't do it. The bottom line is, this is fake. The real one is, we can go back now. The real one, you go down and scroll down. This is what you'll see, my2020census.com, .gov, pardon me. That's the real one. I'm not going to play the story because we're running out of time, but the bottom line is, for sure, where the census was supposed to end near the end of October, it will be ending near the end of September now. And so, if you haven't done it, do it. Just go to my2020census.gov. That is the authentic site. I promise you, it is a handful of questions. I was surprised how easy it was. And just get it done, because they use these numbers, they use this information to figure out how they're going to allocate money for the next 10 years. You only have the census every 10 years. It's mandated by the Constitution that you have the census, and this is how the government figures out who needs what. If you're underrepresented, then your area might get less money than you have coming to you. If you know, that's why everyone should fill this out. But of course, I know Americans are very stubborn, and we found that out with the mask situation. But I wanted to talk about this as well. This goes real quick. There, you can actually watch this on demand. There's a great PBS show called Frontline. And they had an episode called The United States of Conspiracy. And I'm always talking about how conspiratorial things have become. One of the people they talked to was Alex Jones. And it was interesting to see how Jones inspired Trump during the 2016 campaign. Check this out.
Jones boasted about his impact on the candidate.
And I'll tell you, it is surreal to talk about issues here on air and then word for word hear Trump say it 2 days later.
I mean, sometimes it was like verbatim, like, really, Trump? Really? You're taking his word for it? You don't have anybody else around you?
As we've been saying for 3 years, Hillary is the founder of ISIS along with Obama.
He founded ISIS. And I would say the co-founder would be crooked Hillary Clinton.
Buzz Cruz's father linked the JFK assassination. Cuban, hired by Lee Harvey Oswald, bears striking resemblance to Cruz.
And, you know, his father was with Lee Harvey Oswald prior to Oswald's being, shot. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous.
And I think it was a superpower trip for Alex that was irresistible.
I said he's going to use executive orders to go after our guns.
The president's thinking about signing an executive order where he wants to take your guns away. You hear this one?
Someone in the mainstream, Trump, using the words that Jones had been using for decades, I think that emboldened Jones and it changed him as a personality.
These people are not freaking humans, okay? Hillary Clinton is a demon damned to hell.
He made a deal with the devil. She's the devil. He made a deal with the devil.
Big shock was Alex having the ear of a president-to-be. That was the biggest shock. Of all the people I've interviewed over 35 years, I can think of a lot of people I would rather have the president's ear than Alex Jones. It's a bit of a shame that one of the most spiraling people I've ever met is the one who's influencing Trump.
So, once again, check that out if you can, on demand, Frontline, the United States of Conspiracy. It goes way beyond Alex Jones. It talks about a lot of the other nuts that are out there. You know, I thought the information superhighway was going to be a good thing. It was going to be, you know, but it's become the disinformation superhighway because there's so much garbage out there. And there's so many of you, maybe not you who are watching right now, but so many of your neighbors who will take anything from anybody. They'll take some meme and run with it. It says here that Biden said that. You know, anybody can put a picture of a guy up and put some words by him. Where did he say this? When did he say this? But you don't bother to ask. Your meme is good enough. No, it's not. But I know I'm wearing Randy Rainbow out, but we got to do one more because, and I want to talk about this. I met a nice man today named John at a local place called Peabody's. Have you heard of it? Whoop. Okay. Peabody's actually had to shut down yesterday because of two anti-mask protesters making a stink. The guy just shut the place down. It is a mandate in the state that you wear a mask. If these people, you know, I'm sick of these people. I made a point. I've only been to Peabody's once before. I made a point to go to Peabody's today, and I'll be going back because this is not how you do business. I mean, I'm talking about the protesters. Small business owners, particularly restaurants, they're straining to stay in business. Then you go in there raising hell just because you don't want to wear a mask. Here's an idea. Go somewhere else. Okay? Leave those nice people alone. And they were very nice. And a special shout out to a guy. I won't give your last name, John, but this guy was very brave. I mean, when you're in Canfield and you're wearing a Biden mask, he was wearing a Biden face covering. I'm saying, wow, that takes a lot of stones. But then we were having a discussion. The next thing I know, he picked up my meal for me. He paid it forward, which is a thing Joe likes to do as well. And I was so impressed with that. So, but anyway, let's go out on the usual high note. Today, the topic is mask, and here's Randy Rainbow.
Economy in the world.
Girl.
Did you have one in the back here, please?
Thank you. Mr. President, COVID cases continue to rise around the country. You said in your last stand-up special that you had asked your people to slow down testing in order to make the numbers look better, which, by the way, is f***ing brilliant. You're also not requiring people to wear masks at your rallies, which, well, that doesn't matter. Nobody goes to those anyway. But don't you think you should be following CDC guidelines and leading by example?
They're not mandatory guidelines. They're guidelines. They suggest you could wear them, don't have to wear them.
Well, I took the liberty of stopping by the drugstore on my way over and picked up a few samples for you to try out. Let's see. You got your standard three-layer disposable. Can't go wrong with that. Oh, this one's kind of fun and flirty, right? No? Let's see. They were all out of N95s, but the guy behind the counter said this was a very popular model. Huh?
Most people can just make something out of a certain material. I won't be doing it personally.
You're looking awful grouchy. Cover your freaking face. Listen to Dr. Fauci. Cover your freaking face. Don't wait around for herd immunity, you reckless thug. And what a golden opportunity to hide that mug. Although you should require us to do what's right to do, you're siding with the virus, cause you're a virus too. So back up, girl, don't get in my space, and cover your freaking face.
I don't see it for myself, I just
And if you're feeling fancy, or on your way to prom,
why not be more like Nancy?
Make it a whole ensemble, yes. Tie up your face with a bandana, please. It's not taboo. Think of your poor old ailing Nana. She's counting on you not to kill her.
Please don't politicize it.
Don't be a pox like Pence.
Don't sit and scrutinize it. It's only common sense.
Don't spread droplets all over the place. Ew. Cover your freaking face.
You can do it, you don't have to do it. I'm choosing not to do it.
Da-da-dum, da-dum-dum, dance break. And in the same way, testing less would make COVID just quit. Maybe if we can't see your mouth, you won't say stupid shit. Huh?
Don't thumb your nose at science. You'll find it doesn't work.
Ooh, knock off that non-compliance.
Don't be a selfish jerk.
Just stop drooling and slow down the pace. Just cover your freaking face.
Wearing a face mask, I don't see it for myself.
Cover your freaking face.
I'm choosing not to do it.
Girl, just put a paper bag over that thing.
Well, that sounds easy. So take his advice, cover your freaking face, and I'll see you Thursday. I want to thank Joe for making things so nice.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I want to thank you for being with us, and please stay safe, okay? I'm Mo Ray. Thanks for joining me and Joe for The Other Side, and I'm saying what I always say, keep your eyes on the prize.